He's the integrative cardiologist with a heart. It's the Dr. Decker Weiss Show.
Why sleeping pills are not the answer. Again, let me repeat that. Why sleeping pills are not the answer. And as you know, you've heard me and Dr. Holly and other people say this over and over. So we brought in an expert. He is the author of the book, Good Night, the Sleep Doctor's 4-week program to better sleep and better health. He's the sleep doctor, and we know it because he also has a website, thesleepdoctor.com. But this guy's qualified. Michael Bruce is a PhD, clinical psychologist and diplomat of both the American Board of Sleep Medicine and a fellow of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. He's also a clinician. He worked with medical doctors, picked up an additional board certification just to make sure he has that clinical skills and the ability to give us the information. Dr. Bruce, thank you for being on, and thank you for your message. Now, I want to know why I've been right all along. You know, cardiologists, we got to think we're right about everything. So why are sleeping pills not the answer, and why are a bunch of people right now staring at these little orange bottles going, oh my God, what am I doing?
You know, it's fascinating because it's one of the only medications that I've ever seen for a situation that is completely unnecessary. And here's what I mean by that. Your body is going to sleep. Eventually, you are going to fall asleep. It's a natural process. It's going to occur. What people don't realize is sleep is not an on-off switch, right? You don't just walk in, turn off the light, and boom, your body goes to bed. It's more like slowly pulling your foot off the gas and slowly putting your foot on the brake. There's a process that needs to occur here. And we are sometimes so impatient for that process that we want it to happen immediately. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people out there with insomnia. There are even people out there with chronic insomnia. But when you start to look at those folks, what we're now finding is that cognitive behavioral therapy, that's where we talk to people and learn why they think the way they do about sleep and how those thoughts influence their ability to fall asleep. Once we change the way people are thinking, what we learn is that this actually works better than sleeping pills. This is a situation, World Health Organization did a great study looking at it. It works better than things like Ambien. So what we're trying to do is we're fighting a little bit of an uphill battle because a lot of people just say, oh, just give me the pill so I can sleep. And what we're constantly trying to tell people is, number one, that's not natural sleep. There's a very big difference between taking a pill for sleep and actually falling asleep. That's something that people really have to understand.
You also need to understand that all of my internship, residency, and fellowship, I created problems for you. I did because when we were taught, okay, it's, you're on call. You put them to bed. You put them out. Put them out of pain, put them to sleep, or put them in the hospital. And that's what I did for like 6 years of my career. And I would always be thinking, if I was just a naturopath and not a cardiologist, I would be saying that same thing. You will sleep. It's just when. And people get these irrational fears. What if I don't sleep? Especially when they have pressure to go to work and to get an income and all that kind of stuff. They lose. Now, let's shift here to when. Is it easy to sum up what the biggest problems are with sleeping pills, or do you go by like, well, this is the biggest problem with Ambien, this is the problem, biggest problem with like Lunesta? What in general are the biggest problems, Doc?
Well, you know, first of all, just to be really clear, there are definitely situations where a sleeping pill is warranted. So if I've got a patient who's going through chemotherapy, let me tell you something, they're going to get a sleeping pill, okay? That's the type of scenario. Or if somebody's got, you know, a compound fracture, they're probably going to get a sleeping pill, you know? Those are situations where, for short-term reasons, it may be important. But when you start to look at sleeping pills, it's easier to look at them by class to see what's wrong with them than by anything else. So historically, we've used these things called benzodiazepines, which really were anti-anxiety medications. The biggest problems with the anti-anxiety medications, and these are the Restoril, the Xanaxes, and the Valiums, is they're highly addictive. What ends up happening is somebody's got a sleep problem, and they take benzodiazepines, and then a lot of times they got two problems. They got a sleep problem and a pill problem.
Absolutely, because in cardiology, we call those PEZ. Because people just pop them all the time, and they always come to me with two problems. The original problem and the addiction to the benzodiazepine, now cortisol and all that stuff. Absolutely, clinically, see it every day. What about things like Ambien? You hear people driving around and getting fat and eating and all that stuff. Is there different issues with that one?
There is, and what's interesting about that class of drugs is it's not necessarily the physical addiction issues that we see. It's really psychological, number one. And number two, quite honestly, it's user error And it's doctor, it's poor doctor education. You know, when we use sleeping pills in our practice, one of the things that we tell people is you need to take this thing and turn out the light. You don't take it and then go brush your teeth and wash your face and put on your pajamas. Not how these things work. You know, they reach plasma concentration levels fairly quickly, 15 to 20 minutes in most cases, and in some cases even less. This is not something to fool around with. And so a lot of people will go, or they'll mix it with alcohol, like they've had a couple of glasses of wine with dinner, and then they're going to take their Ambien, and then they wonder why, you know, they wake up and they're eating an entire chocolate cake, you know, or they've driven across town, or things of that nature. These are powerful, powerful medications that need to be respected, and they need to be used appropriately. Doctors have got to warn patients on how to use them, and patients have got to take them seriously.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, okay?
Sure.
You said something that I agree with, that there's a place for sleeping pills. For me, like when there's a loss of a loved one, I deal with a lot of seniors. I'll call in like a little, you know, Klonopin or something like that just for a few days.
Right.
I use like a rule about 72 to 96 hours maximum to use these things. And then I pull them off and I'll try and do something different. Do you have about a time limit on using any one of these agents with somebody before you want to try and push them back into their normal sleep cycle? Just because you're worried about, you know, breaking that sleep cycle so much that it's going to be very hard to get that back. You know where I'm going with this? Like, is there like,
I
don't want them on Ambien more than this and Klonopin more than this. Can you give us the insight on that?
I'll tell you how it's worked in our practice. And it really, a lot of it depends on the patient and the scenario. But if I've got somebody who comes to me and they are high anxious, they're in a panic, they haven't slept in 3 or 4 days, you've got to get them out and break that cycle of insomnia. And to be honest with you, sometimes it can take 1 or 2 weeks of being on this medication. However, when you start somebody on a medication that they've never been on before, it's much easier to taper them off it. The real problem is when I get patients who show up in my office for clinical therapy, and they've been taking things like Ambien for 10 years, right?
Uh-huh.
And they've just been getting script after script after script, then you really have to be even more careful because you can also get a rebound insomnia. So you don't want patients going too long on these medications because if you take them off, even with the taper, it's going to be trouble. But it really depends on the scenario. If I've got somebody who walks through the door who's got 3 blown discs and is going to have back surgery in a week and they've got to get the sleep they need before the back surgery, they're probably going to get pills for a couple of weeks to be able to get them sleeping before and sleeping after. Remember, sleep is healing. Even if it's chemically induced sleep, which is not my favorite sleep, it's not something that I really recommend. If somebody absolutely, positively cannot sleep and they really need to, sometimes you have to look at alternate scenarios.
So I'm hearing that you look at it per patient, per section. But one of the things I say, the way I prescribe is with a very hopeful and promising exit strategy. And I think that makes me different. You know, if you're, I'm going to use some beta blockade with you, get your pressure down, get you through this time. And then there's that period. Then there's a recovery period on the way to that. It sounds like we have similar ideals.
Mm-hmm. I would absolutely agree. You never want to start somebody with the idea, hey, you're just going to be on this for a while until you figure it out, and then hopefully we're going to take you off it. You've got to have a treatment plan. You've got to have a time frame that the patient knows and understands. And it's, you know, it's, I think it's our duties as physicians to explain these things to these patients because, you know, they're trusting us to be able to place them on something to help them out, not to make their situation worse.
Doc, I had a nightmare scenario. I had a patient that was so refractory because she was on everything that she had some crazy doctor prescribing pentobarbital and having it made. That's one of the drugs people use. Yeah. And she actually died. She mixed it with an antihistamine and died from it. And it was the same thing. She searched around to doctors until she found somebody willing to one-up them. We have been talking with Dr. Michael J. Bruce, PhD, about the disadvantages about why not to use sleeping pills. Hey, we said during an acute time or during an emergency or critical pain or something, it's okay to take it for a few days. But Dr. Bruce says, have an exit strategy and make sure you're with a doctor that doesn't just know how to put you on that, knows how to take you off it. He wrote the book, Good Night, the Sleep Doctor's 4-week program to better sleep and better health, thesleepdoctor.com. That's how we help you get rested. Radio MD.